Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I'm your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, and the man who calls everything right down the middle, Dion Tyre Gordon. Enough of the bullshit. Let's get to work. The 49ers playoff game against the Green Bay Packers last Saturday night wasn't pretty, but it was effective. The Niners won the game. It reminded me of going out to a club and trying to come up on some new pussy and striking out. Things not going the way you intended or thought it was going to be. The first girl that you met, you and her had a nice conversation. Y'all talked for a little bit, about an hour. Things are going pretty well, or so you thought. You ask for the phone number. She tells you, I'm a lesbian. I don't even like guys. You move on to the second woman. You're talking to her. Same thing. Things are going pretty well. Nice conversation. Good dialogue. Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. She tells you she's in a relationship. She has a man. Well, then, bitch, what the fuck you out here for? Then you meet that third girl. She tells you, I'm not even attracted to men or women or anything. I'm a sapiosexual or whatever the fuck that means, a pansexual. You have a fetish for fucking homemade kitchen appliances. Who knows? You met all these different women and you struck out left and right. And finally, as you're walking out the club, highly inebriated, heavily intoxicated, numerous copious amounts of cognac has been consumed that evening. You are sauced up. You are slizzard. You're leaning, you're bent, you are fucked up, and you tried to get some pussy and came away unsuccessful the entire night until you walked out and saw that preposterous two. A woman so unattractive that it's preposterous that somebody is even attracted to her, and you are that somebody because you got nothing. So there you are, and there she is, and you walk over and you spit your game and talk your shit. It doesn't take a whole lot. It don't say much. It's last call. She looking for some dick. You looking for some pussy. Now, two people have come together to benefit each other. So now, we go to either her place, your place, a Motel 6, a Red Roof Inn. You got a little bit of class, a little bit of money, a Hyatt, a Marriott, whatever. Fill in the blank. Someplace with a bed that you can take care of business. And you go take care of that business. Then you pass out. You fall asleep. You wake up the next morning. You turn over in bed and you see a goddamn wildebeest laying next to you, an absolute rhinoceros of a woman. And now you're filled with regrets and sorrow. And you're like, what the fuck happened last night? How much was I drinking? Jesus Christ, I need to go to AA. I gotta stop this. Where's my keys? Where's my wallet? Do I still have my ATM card? But you got all those things and you got some pussy. And it might not have been pretty. It might not have been the way you wanted it to go down. You're not even all that proud of it, but you won the game. You got what you were looking for. You got some ass, you got some pussy, and that's how the 49ers should feel about their playoff win from last Saturday night. Not clean, not pretty, not aesthetically pleasing, but a win is a win. No different than trying to get some pussy. You take the victories when they happen. I mean, in all reality, that girl you ended up with, that girl you fucked last night, resembles the mascot for the Georgia Bulldogs. She looks like Ugga, but it still counts. Still some ass. And the 49ers played a sloppy, pathetic football game, showing all kinds of rust from being off for 20 days. Brock Purdy not as efficient as he usually is until the last drive. Defense staying on the field too long, could not get off the field on third down. Kyle Shanahan's play calling, questionable, confusing, head scratching, all the above, but we'll take it however we can get it. The Niners are moving on, and for the fourth time in 5 years, the San Francisco 49ers find themselves in the NFC Championship game. Definitely a lot of things to fix and improve upon from the game against Green Bay. The pass rush, zero sacks. There's a lot of money on that defensive line. A lot of money, a lot of former first-round draft picks. Nick Bosa, number two overall in 2019. Chase Young, number two overall in 2020. Chase Young was out there getting blocked by Christian Watson. Getting manhandled by Christian Watson. Chase Young, former number two pick in the draft, 6'5", 270. A large human being. Christian Watson, not a very large human being. A regular-looking dude, pretty much. Tall and slender. A wide receiver. He has no business blocking Chase Young and doing it successfully. That can't happen. Javon Hargrave, Eric Armstead, guys making a lot of money. Armstead, another former first-round draft pick. All that capital, all those resources on that side of the football and that positional group and zero sacks. Jordan Love barely even touched the ground the entire game. All these things happened. Everything that could possibly go wrong for the 49ers went wrong, and they won the football game anyway. Ambry Thomas, his new nickname is Backwoods because he was out there getting smoked heavily. Call that man Kush, OG, Girl Scout cookies, wedding cake, whatever. Fill in the blank. Matter of fact, make up a brand new strain of marijuana called Ambry Thomas because that shit gets smoked. He had a rough game. He was the worst player on the field in that game for either team, especially for the 49ers. He looked like he was point shaving at certain times of the game. He struggled mightily. The secondary, I said this going into the game, the secondary could struggle and could cost us the game. Almost did. Ambry Thomas almost single-handedly cost the 49ers in this game. Blown coverages, pass interferences, being late, being out of position, not tackling well, not playing a good football game. Logan Ryan starting at safety for Jair Brown. Same thing. He whiffed on a big 55-yard run in the fourth quarter by Aaron Jones. Bad angles, bad tackling, bad football. Everybody looked lethargic. Players and coaches. I said this earlier about Kyle. The game plan made no sense to me. We come out empty back formations, four or five receiver sets, and that's not who we are. That's not the 49ers' identity. Run the football. You got Kittle. You got Juszczyk. You got Trent Williams. Run to the left side. And oh, by the way, you got Christian McCaffrey. You got the best running back in the NFL. Run the fucking football. I'm watching the game, and I'm yelling at my TV repeatedly for 3 hours, run the football. Every time we did, it was usually successful. Christian McCaffrey had two touchdowns in this game on the ground. And yet Kyle reverts back to empty back formations, four or five receiver sets, Purdy in the backfield by himself. What are you trying to prove? Are you trying to prove that you're a genius? Are you trying to prove that Purdy should be league MVP? We played the same game on Christmas night against Baltimore and got seven different shades of shit smacked down our legs. We got earth, wind, fire, and ice beaten out of us by the Baltimore Ravens. It looked to me that night as if Kyle, same thing, was trying to prove a point. Brock Purdy should be league MVP. Here, let me show you. No, fuck that. Just go out there and win the game. This happens every now and then with Kyle. The Super Bowl against Kansas City, same thing. Conservative play calling, questionable decisions, not being aggressive before halftime. That happened in this game too. We got the football. It's 7-6 late in the second quarter. A lot of run plays. Now you want to run the football. In a two-minute drill, I could accept being empty back formations, four or five receiver sets in a two-minute drill. But you come out running the football in a situation because you're conservative. In the playoffs, I feel like you got to be aggressive. You got to take chances. You got to trust your personnel, trust your team. And too often, Kyle Shanahan doesn't do that. And we were conservative in this game, resulting in a field goal attempt by Jake Moody that gets blocked. So now we don't score. It's 7-6 going into halftime, and then we get the ball first to begin the second half. Kyle will always defer to the second half. That's a Shanahan thing. That's what he does. I like that. It works if you can score at the end of the first half and then score to begin the second half. But if you don't score on either possessions, it doesn't even matter now. The Niners came out 3-and-out to begin the second half. Questionable play calling again. Brock Purdy is carrying the football. On that series of downs, CMC did not touch the football. To me, that's reprehensible. That's unconscionable. Christian McCaffrey should touch the football at least once every single series of downs. CMC and Debo have to touch the football. Speaking of Debo Samuel, unfortunately lost in the first quarter due to injury, a shoulder injury. MRI results have come back, no fracture. He's 50-50 for the championship game on Sunday. We're going to need him. We absolutely need Debo Samuel if we're going to win a Super Bowl. The offense is pretty much designed around him. Think about that jet sweep to Juwan Jennings in the third quarter. There's no doubt. That's a play call for Debo Samuel. And with him gone, it changes the entire complexion of the offense. And that's how you find yourself in a situation where Juwan Jennings is running jet sweeps, something he doesn't do very often. However, Juwan Jennings should be given all the credit, all the praise, all the adulation, the glory in the world. He stepped in for Debo being out. And Juwan, I thought, had a fantastic game. Not only catching the football, but blocking too. You can't play wide receiver for Kyle Shanahan in that offense and not be a willing participant in the blocking game. You have to block. You have to get downfield and be nasty You have to participate in the running game. You cannot play wide receiver for Kyle Shanahan and not block. And Juwan Jennings was out there blocking people into the fucking benches. He was a man on a mission. Some big catches. Think about that throw that Purdy had in the fourth quarter. Just enough touch, just enough air under the football, and Juwan Jennings comes down with it. That was a big play. I thought he was fantastic. I thought Juwan Jennings was the second best player on the field wearing a 49er uniform. The best player on the field in that game, no doubt about it. Number 57, my man Dre Greenlaw. Two interceptions in this game, a number of tackles all over the field. I love Greenlaw. He plays football the way I think a linebacker should play it. Every now and then he becomes Draymond Greenlaw because he'll go over the edge. He'll do a little bit too much and take some liberties and draw some unnecessary flags at inopportune times. However, he's a damn good football player. He is special. He's awesome. And he won that game for us. He was the best player on the field for the 49ers. You think about that pick. It looks like Fred Warner is going to get it because Jordan Love is flushed out the pocket, rolling to his right, and committed a cardinal sin as a quarterback. You can never roll to your right or left and try to throw the ball back to the middle of the field. You're asking for trouble. That's a recipe for disaster. And unfortunately for Jordan Love and Cheesehead Nation, the season ended on that decision to roll to Jordan Love's right and throw the ball back across the middle of the field. Dre Greenlaw comes in like Superman, Clark Kent. On that play, Dre Greenlaw was faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, and could leap tall buildings in a single bound. Dre Greenlaw was Superman, and he won the game for the 49ers. Tremendous effort, great instincts to even be there, understanding where he's supposed to be on the field and performing his job at an expert level. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to tell any lies, zero mendacity on this podcast ever. I thought the 49ers were going to lose. I really did. In the fourth quarter, when Aaron Jones broke that big run, and Green Bay is already up 21-17, fourth quarter, it's getting late. Inside of less than 7 minutes to go, Packers have possession. But the 49er defense stood on business and prevented them from getting into the end zone because, truthfully, if Green Bay scores on that possession and goes up 28-17, the season's over. I don't see us coming back from down two scores with less than 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And to see Aaron Jones rip off a 55-yard run and overall the success that Green Bay had running the football the entire game was surprising to me. I didn't see that coming, but you know, give the Packers credit. Give the Green Bay Packers a lot of credit. They came in and fought and battled. Young football team, a little bit ahead of schedule. Bright future, though, in Green Bay, and those guys gave us a hell of a game. Coulda, shoulda, won, if I'm being transparent, if I'm being honest about it. We survived, and like I said earlier, take the wins however you can get it. Whether it be at the club or on the football field, you take it however you can get it. And that was a great game by the Packers. Salute to them. Nothing but respect. Jordan Love, as I said before, other than Brock Purdy, he and C.J. Stroud are my two favorite quarterbacks in the NFL. Black quarterbacks that can get it done in the pocket. I appreciate that. Now back to the game itself. Niner defense stands on business. Packers special teams comes out there. Their kicker looks like Jeffrey Dahmer. He more than likely has body parts in his refrigerator. But he missed a field goal, and that opened the door for the Niners to come in and take the lead and try to hold on and win the football game. It's 21-17, and now the legend of Brock Purdy starts to rise to the surface. He didn't play well in that game, the overall game. Weather conditions affected him, as it did in Cleveland back in October. It was raining throughout the entire football game. It's clear Brock Purdy struggles with throwing a wet football. He starts the game off wearing a glove, then took the glove off, then put it back on. There was one play where Purdy drops back the pass, and he's wiping his throwing hand off it on his jersey before he's about to throw the pass. I've never seen a quarterback do that before. He's dropping back the pass and wiping off his right hand, his throwing hand, and then throws the football all pretty much in one motion. The weather conditions affected him. That was clear, that was obvious, but when it mattered most, with the season on the line and football immortality awaiting you. A number one seed playing a seven seed, a team that had 20 days rest, a team with multiple All-Pros, an MVP candidate, a quarterback, a Coach of the Year candidate, and Kyle Shanahan. All these great players on both sides of the football. The Niners arguably have the best roster in the NFL. You could talk about Baltimore. That's pretty much it. The Ravens and the 49ers have the two best rosters in the NFL. And the 49ers found themselves on the brink of elimination until Brock Purdy came in and saved the day. That final drive was impeccable. That final drive was the stuff of legend. That was Montana-esque. I don't want to compare Brock Purdy to Joe Montana. That's borderline sacrilege and blasphemous. I shouldn't do that. No one should do that. But on that drive, he looked like Joe Montana. When it mattered most, didn't play well the entire game, but when he had to, Brock Purdy delivered for the 49ers and all the 49er faithful. Six of seven on that final drive. The one incompletion was a drop pass by George Kittle. A situation where a guy is trying to make a play before he even catches the football. You can see it. Kittle was turned upfield and ready to start running and try to get some yak, but he dropped the football. That was the one incompletion. One of the many knocks on Brock Purdy is that he's only good because of the people around him. He plays on an all-star team. Well, anybody can be quarterback of the 49ers. That's what people say. The uncultured swine have that opinion about Brock Purdy. So what are people going to say now? On that final drive, 6 of 7, 47 yards, and a key scramble in the red zone to set up the go-ahead touchdown, and doing this without Deebo Samuel, completing passes to Juwan Jennings and Chris Conley. No one even knew who Chris Conley was before Saturday night, but he runs a beautiful deep out pattern and makes a catch for a first down on that drive. Brock Purdy, another dart over the middle to Brandon Ayuk. You couldn't ask for more than what he did on that final drive. And people keep saying, well, I want to see Purdy lead a comeback in the fourth quarter. Well, then he goes out and does it. And then people like Keyshawn Johnson move the goalposts. Well, a comeback is not being down by 4 points in the fourth quarter. It's being down by double digits. If you're losing the game and you finish the game with more points than the opposing team, guess what just happened? You came back to win the game. That's a comeback. Stop complicating things. Brock Purdy led a comeback. Everybody kept saying, I want to see him do that. He's always playing with a lead. He never wins games playing from behind until Saturday night. And then people moved the goalposts because for whatever reason, pick number 262 is the most hated man in sports. People can't stand Brock Purdy because he proves them wrong. He makes the entire process look stupid, and they don't like that. He's bad for business. Brock Purdy, as the quarterback, the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, has a win-loss record of 20-5. The 49ers are averaging 29.2 points per game in those 25 games. And yet people malign and criticize this guy, a second-year quarterback, the last pick in the draft. He's not even supposed to make the team. Not only did he make the final 53-man roster, but he's 20-5 and averaging 29.2 points per game, and for the second year in a row is going to be a starting quarterback in the NFC Championship game. And people hate this dude or don't think he's good, or he's only a product of the system. All the slander that Jimmy Garoppolo should have got, Brock Purdy's getting. I don't understand it. Purdy's a better quarterback, way better than that scumbag Garoppolo ever was. Oh, the 49ers won despite Brock Purdy struggling. I've seen plenty of quarterbacks win football games despite the fact that they individually played like shit. The aforementioned Jimmy Garoppolo made a career out of this. He never had a good playoff game, not even once. You can't name the good individual playoff performance that Garoppolo ever had, yet he won 4 playoff games. Even legendary, iconic, elite, top-tier, Hall of Fame quarterbacks won playoff games, won games in general, despite not playing well. Tom Brady won a Super Bowl against the Rams. The offense only scored 13 points. He did not throw a touchdown in that game. The one touchdown in the game was Sony Michel scoring at the goal line. Tom Brady wasn't very good in Super Bowl 53. They won the game. It doesn't matter. I remember a playoff game from way back in the day, Indianapolis versus Baltimore. Peyton Manning struggled mightily in that game. The Colts won the football game. I can give you all types of examples of quarterbacks not playing well, and then they win the game anyway. On Christmas Day 2023, about a month ago, Raiders quarterback Aiden O'Connell won a football game in Kansas City against the Chiefs. He threw for 62 yards in that game, and he won. He gets credit for the win. This happens all the time, but when it happens to Brock Purdy, is I see, I told you, there's a reason he was a seventh-round draft pick and Mr. Irrelevant. He's not good. He's a weak link. He's the worst quarterback still left in the playoffs. Imagine saying that, and people do say it. His first full year as a starter in the NFL, and Brock Purdy goes for 31 touchdowns, 11 picks, 4,280 yards, a passer rating of 113, but he's not good. He's the worst quarterback remaining in the playoffs, going into the divisional round of the playoffs. Eight quarterbacks played last weekend, and people said that Brock Purdy was the worst quarterback of those eight. People don't know what they're talking about, and the Brock Purdy slander is proof of that. He's going to have to be better, no doubt about that, for the entire game. Fortunately, the forecast for this Sunday for the NFC Championship calls for 68 degrees, not a cloud in the sky, a beautiful, bright, sunny day in the California Bay Area, Santa Clara to be exact, at Levi's Stadium, home of the 2024 NFC Championship game. I said this all season long, we got to get home field. The last 2 years, the Niners had to travel. Los Angeles, Philadelphia lost both NFC Championship games on the road. 2019, we had home field against Green Bay. We won the football game and advanced to Super Bowl 54. I felt like it was imperative for the 49ers to advance to a Super Bowl. They had to have home field advantage. They got that. And the NFC Championship this Sunday is going to be in the Bay Area, Santa Clara. The opponent this Sunday, the Detroit Lions, took care of business in a good football game. It was close for about three quarters. Fourth quarter, Detroit started to pull away. Congratulations to the Detroit Lions. This is not a situation where there's animosity. I don't hate them. It's not like Green Bay, certainly not like Dallas or Philadelphia. There's no animus at all towards the Detroit Lions. How could there be? They're usually not even in the playoffs. They usually don't make it this far. As a matter of fact, this is the first time since 1991 the Detroit Lions have made the NFC Championship. They lost in 91 to the Washington Redskins, who eventually won the Super Bowl that year, Super Bowl 26 against Buffalo at the old Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome in Minneapolis, Minnesota. But 33 years later, the Lions have found themselves back in the NFC Championship. I think the key to the game this Sunday is going to be Colton McKivitz, the right tackle for the 49ers, going up against Aiden Hutchinson, an absolute dog, a beast, a marvelous football player. I look at him as being their version of Nick Bosa. They both wear number 97. They both played in the Big Ten. Hutchinson at Michigan, Bosa at The Ohio State University. You know, there's a lot of similarities, a lot of parallels. You look at Detroit and their overall roster construction, to me, they mirror the 49ers. Penei Sewell is their Trent Williams. Sam LaPorta is their version of George Kittle. Jared Goff and Brock Purdy play a similar style of football. Classic drop-back pocket quarterbacks, excellent in play action, bootlegs, design rollouts. Kind of sort of the same guy. Now, head coach Dan Campbell has almost nothing in common with Kyle Shanahan, but he's a great coach. I got a lot of respect for him. He was a guy that a lot of people thought was a buffoon, a meathead, some, you know, stereotypical jock. Like, how the fuck did this guy become a head coach in the NFL? And yet here he is. Got off to a slow start, a 1-10 start. Actually, that is similar to Kyle. Kyle in 2017 got off to a 1-10 start, and then things got turned around, the roster got better, and then 3 years later, in 2019, the 49ers found themselves 13-3, number one in the National Football Conference, and 6 minutes and 47 seconds away from winning a Super Bowl. The turnaround can happen that quick, and 3 years has been a turnaround for the Detroit Lions. Last year got off to a slow start, but a strong finish, culminating in eliminating their hated division rival, the Green Bay Packers. The last game that Aaron Rodgers played in a Packers uniform was a loss on a Sunday night football game that eliminated them from the playoffs. And for Detroit, they didn't make the playoffs either last season, but that was their Super Bowl. They took out the Packers, and they built off that momentum coming into this season. They were a glamour pick to win their division and go far in the playoffs, and that's exactly what they've done. I think it's a great story. It's been a long time coming. I got nothing but respect for Dan Campbell, Jared Goff, and everybody affiliated with the Detroit Lions. Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, LaPorta. It's a loaded offense. Jameson Williams, the Niners are going to have their hands full this Sunday. It's not going to be easy. Good defense. They can rush the quarterback. Secondary is where you can have success against them, especially in the deep middle third, which is a place that Purdy loves to operate. I think it's going to be a close game. I'm biased. I'll go ahead and admit that. I'm going to say San Francisco 29, Detroit 25. I think it comes down to the fourth quarter. Again, the 49ers are going to have to earn everything they get this Sunday. Detroit's not going to come out there and lay down and just let us have it. You got to take it away from them. You got to be assertive and be aggressive, Kyle Shanahan, because Dan Campbell is going to be assertive and aggressive. Dan Campbell is going to take chances and take risks and go for it. If it's fourth and three or less, they're going for it. Fourth and five, really. And depending on the time, situation, and circumstance of the game, Detroit is going to go for it. It could be middle of the first quarter at their own 40-yard line, fourth and two. Dan Campbell is going to go for it. Or run a fake punt, a fake kick. Some type of chicanery will ensue, courtesy of Coach Kneecaps Dan Campbell, biting off kneecaps and guiding his team all the way to the NFC Championship. A few notes and tidbits about the game. The 49ers this season, 6-3 at home. Detroit, 6-3 on the road. However, Jared Goff does not play well outdoors. Most of his games, Detroit plays in the dome at Ford Field. The last time Jared Goff played outside was a game in November at Chicago against the Bears. Detroit scored 13 points in that game, and Goff didn't play well. Now, that's Chicago in November. It's cold, it's windy, it's inclement weather. It's not going to be that same situation in Santa Clara this Sunday. As I said before, the forecast is calling for 68 degrees and sun. So the weather and the elements are not going to have that much of an effect on Jared Goff. A local guy, by the way, born and raised in Marin County. You got to have money if you want to be in Marin County, California. I'll tell you that from firsthand experience. Jared Goff, born and raised in Marin County, played his college football at Cal Berkeley. Grew up a 49er fan, has never beaten the 49ers. 0-5 is Jared Goff all time against the San Francisco 49ers. Four of those losses came in a Los Angeles Rams uniform, the team that drafted Jared Goff. And then the fifth loss was opening day 2021 against Detroit. And that was a game that the 49ers won 41-38. But that was 2 years ago, and Detroit much upgraded, a much better football team since 2021. Do not expect the same old sorry-ass Lions to come out to the Bay Area and play the NFC Championship. This is a good football team. Nothing but respect. However, at the end of the day, 29-25 San Francisco, moving on to Super Bowl 58 to play the winner of the AFC Championship game, correctly predicted by me. Both matchups, as a matter of fact, accurately forecasted by the clairvoyant Deion Tyre Gordon. I said this on the previous podcast. 49ers, Ravens, Chiefs, Lions, all moving on. And what do you know? Who won the pony? 49ers, Ravens, Chiefs, Lions, all playing this Sunday. The AFC matchup is going to be a fight. That's going to be a good football game. You think about Baltimore. Baltimore has demolished every good playoff caliber team they've played this season, including the 49ers, 33-19 on Christmas Day. They curb stomped Detroit, beat the dog shit out of Miami, put 56 on Miami, as a matter of fact. They've dog walked every team they've played this season that had a great record and made the playoffs. They've been kicking ass all year. That defense is lights out. Roquan Smith, my man Kyle Hamilton from the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, one of my favorite players in college. Jadeveon Clowney, Marlon Humphrey. It's a good football team. Nasty front seven they get after it. Mike McDonald at defensive coordinator is more than likely going to be a head coach somewhere in the NFL next season. Offensively, Lamar Jackson is going to be NFL League MVP. They run the football. They're physical. The offensive line's nasty. It's a well-constructed football team. And Baltimore has always been a great organization. Think about it. You've never seen a shitty Baltimore Ravens football team. You've never seen like a 2 or 3 or 4 win Baltimore team taking a first round draft pick in the top 10 or whatever. You don't see that. They're consistently good. And it starts at the top. They got good people in the front office and a great head coach in John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson playing at a high level this season. Zay Flowers on the outside, Odell Beckham. And remember, star tight end Mark Andrews has been out with an ankle injury ever since November. You think about J.K. Dobbins tore his Achilles week one against Houston. Even though they're missing two good players, it has not slowed them down. Baltimore has been the best team in the NFL this season. I got to call what I see. They played San Francisco head up. The final score, Baltimore 33, San Francisco 19. They are right now number one in the driver's seat, the best team in pro football. On February the 11th, all that can change. But as of right now, it's Baltimore. They are the leaders in the clubhouse and they got home field advantage. And they're going to bring back every former great Baltimore Raven for the game on Sunday. Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Terrell Suggs, Anquan Boldin. All these guys are going to be at the game. The first time since 1971 that the city of Baltimore will be hosting an AFC championship game is going to be live. It's going to be lit in Baltimore, Maryland this Sunday. All that being said, I think the opponent, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, the Kansas City Chiefs, a team that is about to play in their sixth consecutive conference championship game. The consistency cannot be overlooked. You play in six straight conference championship games. Three times you've gone to a Super Bowl in that same time frame. Patrick Mahomes has played individually in 17 playoff games. He's been in the NFL since 2018. The Arizona Cardinals organization has been around since 1920. And as an organization that has been around, that has existed ever since the inception of the league, since 2020, the Arizona Cardinals have played in 17 playoff games. As a team, an organization, a staff, a record label, a motherfucking crew, 17 playoff appearances, Patrick Mahomes by himself since 2018, 17 playoff appearances. That's a bad man. That's the boogeyman. That's a magician. And I just had a feeling that come playoff time, the Chiefs are going to turn it on. And that's what they've done. Destroyed Miami in the wild card game, 26-7. And then broke the hearts of everybody in upstate Western New York last Sunday. The Bills just can't get it done. Josh Allen misreads, inaccurate throws. Stephon Diggs dropping passes. Coaching decisions. They ran a fake punt for DeMar Hamlin. With everything on the line, your season, your legacy, everybody, the hopes and dreams of Buffalo Bills fans, Bills Mafia everywhere, all these crazy drunk-ass white folks in Buffalo, New York, blue cheese dressing and beer and shirts off and jumping through flaming tables, all that crazy shit, everything on the line, and the Buffalo Bills called a fake punt for a man that died over a year ago. That's fucking insane. That is absolutely ridiculous. Just give the ball to Josh Allen. Let your quarterback determine what happens. You're paying him a lot of money. He's your quarterback. Season on the line, and you entrust a man that died over a year ago, who's done nothing all season. Just completely ridiculous. And then, in true Buffalo Bills fashion, the game ends on Tyler Bass on 4th and 9 with less than 2 minutes to go, attempting, I want to say, a 41 or 42-yard field goal, and it goes wide right. How cruel is that? Wide right? for the Buffalo Bills, invoking memories of Scott Norwood going wide right on a 47-yarder in Super Bowl 25, and the Buffalo Bills lost 20-19 to the New York Giants. And lightning strikes twice. History repeats itself. The Buffalo Bills lose again on wide right, and the season comes to an end, and the Kansas City Chiefs move on again. And I couldn't help but notice the offense in Kansas City is starting to click. Now, it's going to be a tough battle. Going up against the best defense in pro football in Baltimore on the road, it's going to be tough. It really shouldn't happen. You think about it. You break it down. Baltimore's defense, they got enough personnel to match up with Kansas City. They can take away or at least minimize Travis Kelce. Kyle Hamilton can cover him. Marlon Humphrey can rotate over on him. Roquan Smith, they got dudes in Baltimore that can do some work in trying to cover Travis Kelce. But then you got Rashee Rice, a wide receiver for Kansas City, starting to emerge, making a name for himself. Isaiah Pacheco in the run game, starting to put in work, starting to get things moving now. Kansas City could win this game, and I think they will, because I just can't look past number 15. 15 in red, Darlene from Roseanne, the boogeyman, Patrick Mahomes. The best quarterback in the NFL, the man that is currently defining a generation. You could talk about Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, CJ Stroud, my man Brock Purdy, fill in the blank. Any good quarterback currently active in the National Football League, they all take a back seat. They all take a back seat to Patrick Mahomes. He's number one. It's his league right now. I know the Ravens' defense is top-notch. They completely shut down Houston in that playoff game. The Texans' only touchdown came on a punt return. For that entire game, the Houston Texans did not run one play inside of Baltimore's 25-yard line. That's impressive. That's domination. That's an ass-whooping right there. You don't run one offensive play inside the opponent's 25-yard line. The entire game, domination. And that's a defense standing on business. As good as they are, home field, Baltimore going to be insane this Sunday. Patrick Mahomes is the right guy to walk in and win that football game, even though on paper they really shouldn't. But somehow I think they do. I think Steve Spagnuolo, defensive coordinator for Kansas City, is going to have a good game plan to neutralize Lamar Jackson. If you can, and it sounds silly to say this, it sounds ridiculous, because Lamar Jackson this season was the eighth best quarterback, the eighth highest passer rating inside the pocket. And it's always been a knock on him. It's been a knock that I've had personally, being honest, being transparent. But he is good in the pocket. He's gotten better. He's improved this season as a pure pocket passer. If you want to beat Baltimore, as crazy as it might sound, you still got to contain him in the pocket as best you can. Because the magic happens for Baltimore whenever Lamar can create outside the pocket and be innovative with his legs and make plays off schedule. That's when the magic happens for Baltimore, and that's when chaos and disarray descends upon opposing defenses when Lamar Jackson is outside the pocket making shit happen. If Spagnuolo can somehow contain him in the pocket, they have a chance. Now, I will say this. Lamar has gotten better against the blitz. You go back to that Houston game. During the regular season, Houston blitzed only 21% of their plays, fifth lowest in the NFL. Against Baltimore, they sent heat consistently, repeatedly, the entire game. The Texans sent six or more pass rushers on 11 of Lamar's 22 attempts. Lamar went 8 of 11 against that for 51 yards, 30 in the air, one touchdown, and a passer rating of 112.3. So blitzing him, it worked in the first half. They had success in the first half of that game. Adjustments were made, and there was no success in the second half. Lamar got better. Things got figured out. Baltimore in the second half scores 24 unanswered points and wins the football game and has now earned the rights to compete in the AFC Championship. They're good. I got a lot of respect for them. I just have a lot of fear for Patrick Mahomes. Call it PTSD from Super Bowl 54. I've seen it. I saw it happen to my own team. 10-point lead, 6:47 to go. We lose by 21. He has that capability. He's that guy in the playoffs. Lamar had his first good playoff game last Saturday. Mahomes, he's been doing this since 2018. Consistently good in the playoffs, in these moments, in these situations. And even though Baltimore has a number one ranked defense, that's never stopped Mahomes in the playoffs. Once again, going back to the Super Bowl, I swear I need a therapist for this game and maybe some other issues too, but I need a therapist to discuss Super Bowl 54 so I can finally get over it. And that's the reason why I want Kansas City to win this game, because I want closure. It's all about that game. You can say, well, the Niners also lost to Baltimore in a Super Bowl, and they did. Super Bowl 47, that was in 2012. Nobody on this current Ravens roster was on that team. There's a couple of guys currently active in Kansas City that played in that game. And I want payback. I want retribution. I want closure. And Patrick Mahomes is the guy I want to face in the Super Bowl. That's who the 49ers need to play, in my opinion. But the point I was making was Mahomes faced a number one ranked defense in that Super Bowl, in the 49ers, and scored 21 points in less than 6 minutes and won the game. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. He's that good. The one time, I mean, he's lost games. He's lost playoff games. He lost a Super Bowl to Tampa, but his starting right tackle and left tackle didn't play in that game. So he was under siege the entire game from that Tampa Bay pass rush. He lost a game at home in the AFC Championship to Cincinnati. He lost another AFC Championship at home to Tom Brady. Tom Brady, Joe Burrow, the only quarterbacks to ever beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. Can Lamar Jackson join that list? I don't think so. I don't think it's that time. I think Kansas City wins this football game 27-26. We're going to have two close games, two instant classics this Sunday, Conference Championship Sunday. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome, going to be fun. I'm hoping I'm right again. I'm hoping I'm accurate again. The clairvoyant Dion Gordon looks into his crystal ball and sees a future Super Bowl matchup Sunday, February the 11th, 2024 at Allegiant Stadium, home of the Raiders. A rematch of Super Bowl 54, the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs, this time hopefully with a different result. And with all that being said, this concludes this edition of the Dion Gordon Podcast. Eternally grateful, always humble, and very much appreciative. And remember, tread lightly like a woodpecker with a headache. Picture me rolling. I'm out.